It's a celebration here in the studio because the CyberWork with InfoSec podcast is a winner. Thanks to the Cybersecurity Excellence Awards for awarding us a Best Cybersecurity Podcast gold medal in our category. Yeah. We're celebrating, but we're giving all of you the gift. We're once again giving away a free month of our InfoSec Skills platform, which features targeted learning modules, cloud-hosted cyber ranges, hands-on projects, certification practice exams, and skills assessments. To take advantage of this special offer for CyberWork listeners, head over to infosecinstitute.com/skills or click the link in the description below. Sign up for an individual subscription as you normally would. Then, in the coupon box, type the word CyberWork, CYBERWORK, no spaces, no capital letters, and just like magic, you can claim your free month. Thank you once again for listening to and watching our podcast. We appreciate each and every one of you coming back each week. So enough of that, let's begin the episode. Welcome to another episode of the CyberWork with InfoSec podcast, the weekly podcast in which we talk with a variety of industry thought leaders to discuss the latest cybersecurity trends, how those trends are affecting the work of InfoSec professionals, as well as offering tips for those trying to break in or move up the ladder in the cybersecurity industry. Today's podcast episode is the audio from a webinar we released on April 29th entitled CompTIA CISA Plus Certification Changes, Everything You Need to Know. The role of information security analyst is the fastest growing job category in the U.S. at the moment, with 32% overall growth expected between 2018 and 2028. If you're thinking of moving your skills and careers in this direction, check this episode out to learn about the updated CompTIA Cybersecurity Analyst, or CISA Plus certification. It received a refresh in April of 2020 to align with the most in-demand skills in this growing field. And what are those skills? With us today, our guest, Patrick Lane, Director of Products at CompTIA, will teach us everything you need to know about the CS0-002 certification and exam updates, including the evolving job skills of security analysts, common job roles for CISA Plus holders, tips to pass the updated CISA Plus exam, and we took CISA Plus questions from live viewers, which you'll get to hear. And now let's zip you over to the webinar with Patrick Lane and moderator Camille Raymond entitled CompTIA CISA Plus Certification Changes, Everything You Need to Know.
So a little bit about Patrick is Patrick directs the IT workforce skills certifications for CompTIA, including Security Plus, Pentest Plus, CYSA Plus, and CASP Plus. He assisted the U.S. National Cybersecurity Alliance to create the Lockdown Your Login campaign to promote multi-factor authentication nationwide. He has implemented a wide variety of projects, including an intranet and help desk for 11,000 end users. Patrick is an Armed Forces Communications and Electronics Association lifetime member, born and raised on U.S. military bases, and he has authored and co-authored multiple books, including Hack Proofing Linux, A Guide to Open Source Security. So, Patrick, you have an extensive background. We are so happy to have you today and, you know, excited to hear about the updates that we are seeing from CompTIA. So I will go ahead and kind of turn it over to you.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here speaking with you. I am one of the shepherds of the Security Plus, CYSA Plus, Pentest Plus, and CASP Plus certifications, as you heard. And so in that responsibility, CompTIA wants you to know that IT jobs, they're still available. If you go to our information at cyberstates.org or cyberseek.org in the US, which is where we have the immediate data from, we're still seeing IT hiring taking place, and there are still IT jobs available for you. So as you learn about the topics today for the security analyst job role skill, you need to understand that there are jobs available right now. It doesn't appear that cybersecurity is taking a hit right now. We're going to be monitoring the situation, of course, but at the moment, we're still looking good. And we're encouraging everyone to continue to get IT certifications and to get jobs. I just talked with a fellow yesterday or on Monday from India, got a raise because he earned the CYSA Plus certification. And so if companies like, you know, Rising are giving raises and stuff in this environment, I think that we're going to find a lot of need and demand in this industry still for skilled workers. And so what we've had to do, CompTIA, is move all of our exams online due to COVID-19. So as of April 15th, all of these exams are available online, including A+, Network+, Security+, Pentest+, CYSA+, CASP+, Cloud+, Linux+, Server+, all of them are available online now. I think the only one that's not is CTT+, and that's an instructor certification, which requires a video recording of yourself. So all of the exams that you're used to taking at a Pearson VUE Testing Center are now online through, it's called OnView. And so if you have a voucher and you need to register, go to the Pearson VUE site. And when you use your voucher, it will give you a choice of if you want to take the exam online or on ground. And so at that point, that's your decision to make, probably depending on the local government lockdowns in your area, depending on which way you want to take it. And so we want to make this announcement to everyone. And so thank you, InfoSec, for letting me make that this statement.
No problem. Happy to have you on.
All right, everyone. So here's the agenda. And so I'm going to first talk about why did CompTIA create CYSA+. We'll talk about the cybersecurity career pathway. We'll talk about the updates in CS0002. And we're also going to talk about, you know, some of the specific details of the cert. And we'll wrap up with a question and answer section. Why did CompTIA create CYSA+? We created it because after the 2013-2014 attacks, we found that cybersecurity needed to go in a new direction. In the past, we were using signature-based tools, things like firewalls, and it was a fortress mentality that if you had your company inside that fortress and you had a firewall and antivirus software, you could pretty much believe that you were secure. And that was the understanding throughout the 1990s and the 2000s. But as we got into the 2010s, what happened is that the bad guys got as smart as the good guys, and the bad actors learned ways to get inside the network. So the cybersecurity industry looked at new tools based on behavioral analytics. This new set of tools, or they weren't new, they'd actually been around forever, but now we realize we need them, so they became very popular. These new tools are based on behavioral analytics. They include things like a packet capture tool, an intrusion detection system, a security information and event management system, and there's a lot of threat intelligence material out there as well. And so we had to begin looking inside the network. And we had to start looking for anomalies on the network that indicate bad behavior. And it's a lot harder than it used to be. So these tools allow you to filter all of your network traffic, and they will flag with a security alert something, some activity that has occurred on your network or with one of your systems that indicates there may be malware on your system. It's some kind of incident that you're going to have to look at. And so these tools will provide flags. They will say, hey, here's something that looks like an issue that you need to look at. So as a security analyst, then you would say, okay, great, I've been monitoring my network. I have found an anomaly that may indicate bad behavior. So now I have to figure out how I'm going to respond to that incident. And so security analysts are also responsible for this incident response. So you can see it was a real sea change in the cybersecurity world. We've gone from signature-based solutions to behavioral analytics solutions. You need both kind of tools running on your network, but you also need both kind of employees and IT pros who have these skills. And so there were five main areas. In fact, the exam is based on these five areas. Each one of these bullet points at the bottom of this page is basically one of the domains on the exam. So you have to be able to do five things at least. You need to be able to leverage threat intelligence and threat detection techniques. You need to be able to analyze and interpret data that you find. You need to be able to identify and address the vulnerabilities that you find. And you have to be able to suggest preventive measures and implement those measures through incident response. You also have to effectively respond to recover from incidents, and recovery and reporting is one of the issues we're going to talk about later. There's been a lot of additional security risks with COVID-19. The headlines just in the last 2 weeks have been very alarming. So CompTIA has written a blog that covers basically how CompTIA believes IT pros need to prepare themselves in this current environment. But it also talks about how companies in general need to protect themselves, and that includes end user training as well. So if you wouldn't mind, there's a blog that we've written recently and a video to boot. But the blog is basically cybersecurity and the remote workforce, what IT pros need to do. And in there, we cover basically how we need to focus more on risk management, because a lot of the risks that have occurred with COVID-19 were because we weren't prepared. The IT industry has not implemented enough risk management. What has happened with COVID-19 is, as IT professionals and organizations in general saw COVID-19 coming, we didn't think that it was going to be a big deal. And so we weren't preparing for it. But suddenly, I think it was, on March 13th, it suddenly was a big deal. And so we were all sent home. And unfortunately, most of us, most companies that I've spoken with, none of us were prepared. And so we've been left scrambling, trying to protect our remote workforce after the remote workforce went home. And if you look at risk management best practices, that is not the best practice. And you would usually want to set up things well in advance. But I don't think pandemic was at the top of many of our lists as a risk. And so moving forward, we're going to find a lot more risk management. CompTIA is going to be pushing IT risk management. And maybe we even need certifications in it so this doesn't happen again. Anyhow, please go visit that blog and just know that we've got solutions as far as skills go. And so if we look at CYSA Plus, why we created it, CompTIA created it as a direct response of this need for security analysts and this new world of behavioral analytics-based tools. This has been the fastest growing certification in CompTIA's history. Also, the security analyst job role is also the fastest growing job role in history. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the first 3 months of 2016, right after the big hacks, the historic hacks, we immediately saw a huge bump. And within 3 months, that job role increased 8% in the U.S., which is a record that is yet to be beaten. The CompTIA Cybersecurity Career Pathway represents CYSA Plus. So if we look at the pathway from core skills certifications, starting from the basics with ITF Plus, and that's Internet Technology Fundamentals Plus. We start with that because it's really great for people who are going into IT career and they want to find out where they want to go. Covers a little bit of programming, a little bit of infrastructure, a little bit of cybersecurity. So if you take that course, it's a really good survey course, something you would take if you were trying to figure out a career for yourself. And it's been very effective in helping people because you'll learn quickly if you don't like programming. You'll learn quickly if you don't like cybersecurity, and you'll learn quickly if you don't like infrastructure. So I recommend that course for everyone. And then we would go into A Plus for devices and support of those devices, support desk, help desk, Network Plus, which is network administration, then Security Plus, which actually teaches you how to secure the network. An important note for anyone who's taking Security Plus, you have to know networking skills before you can take Security Plus, because you'll have a hard time passing Security Plus, because you can't secure a network unless you know how the network works. After Security Plus, it's then a pathway we find is a lot of people will go into either infrastructure, where they want to stay in the IT infrastructure team, or if they want to go into cybersecurity. And cybersecurity, you know, is a whole separate set of tasks. And so what we have is a split in the pathway, where if you take the cybersecurity career pathway, you immediately go to CISA Plus and Pentest Plus. CISA Plus and Pentest Plus represent blue team and red team testing. A CISA Plus security analyst is a blue team certification. You're basically playing defense. However, as you're going to find out, we become a lot more aggressive with our defense. In fact, we often say we're going on the offense with our defense. You'll find out why later. Also, Pentest Plus, that's the red team. That's the team that implements the penetration testing, the vulnerability assessment. Also, you know, will tag items that need to be managed in that process. So Pentest Plus is really the red team finding vulnerabilities. CISA Plus, blue team, trying to defend the network against those hackers that are coming in. Many of the organizations we speak with do red team, blue team drills within their organization to keep their pen testers and their security analysts on their toes. Last one is the CompTIA Advanced Security Practitioner, CASP Plus. That teaches the advanced skills of a security architect, a security engineer. It's a 5 years plus skill level. And that is a good one for cybersecurity professionals who want to stay hands-on on the keyboard, want to stay technical. They don't want to go into the management aspect. CASP has been used, people in the Navy, 5 years plus, 10 years plus, to assess their skills, especially in their forward operations for Cyber Command. Job growth indicators are still strong. Right now, information security analysts, they're still making around $100,000 a year. Also, it's important that you get a certification such as CYSA Plus, because right now, 80% of all hiring managers are looking for certifications to make their IT and cybersecurity hires. 80% of them. Why? Because most hiring managers don't have any idea about the technology. If you said, hey, I need you to find somebody who's really good at threat intelligence with the MITRE navigation, you might have someone say, what? But if you said, on someone's resume, look for CYSA Plus, the CompTIA Security Analyst Cert. That'll teach them that has those skills in it. So just look for that on their resume. Yes, that is something a hiring manager can do. And that's what they are doing 80% of the time. Also, the security analyst job in particular is growing faster than the others. As you can see, it's got like almost a 30% growth rate. We update our exams every 3 years to keep them up to date. It's part of our continuous improvement loop. It's also an ISO ANSI requirement that we're under, 17024. What we're finding as we've been updating CYSA Plus, that it is kind of a moving target. 80% of this job role remains the same from 3 years ago, but 20% of it is a moving target. So those of you teaching, or if you're teaching this course, or if you're going to get taught in this, you'll see that security analyst core skills remain the same, and that's continuous security monitoring. Monitoring everything on the network 24/7, trying to find threats and responding to them. And so the core function is going to be the same, but remember I talked about that 20% that's changed? Let's look at that. Right now, there's more focus on software security. So in the past, we just focused on systems. Now we've got to focus on software too. Why? Over the past 5 years, we've invested in billions of dollars into network security. The networks are more secure. The investments have paid off. IT pros are telling us now that software is becoming more of the problem, because software that's being released onto the networks isn't being tested properly. We have to test our software. We have to be able to update it when it's out there So we need to focus more on software security. And actually, one of the domains in the new version covers software and system security. Also, there's a growing trend on going on the offense with defense that I mentioned earlier. This is becoming more and more important, particularly with threat intelligence. And I'll talk more about that when we talk about tools. There's also more of an emphasis on incident response. Incident response is changing. Incident response is changing because there's less traditional operating systems out there. We're finding far more embedded IoT devices with custom operating systems on them, perhaps just you've got some seriously stripped down versions of the Linux kernel out there that don't have basic ports blocked and such. And so a lot of this is very easy to fix. It's just the thought has to be taken in order to add it into the software development process. So if you're a developer, please practice secure DevOps skills. Please practice the DevSecOps skills. We hear it both ways, secure DevOps and secure and DevSecOps. This is an area the industry needs to focus on. Lastly, the increased IT regulatory environment. What we have there is we're finding more and more of our companies, the majority of them that we work with, are being regulated. And they're being regulated by very huge privacy laws in some cases, such as GDPR, the California Privacy Protection Act. You also have things like SOX, PCI DSS, that's the payment card industry data security standard. And so, we did a survey of our Security Plus students, and the majority of them are being regulated, and the majority of them don't like it. Regulation can be a hassle, but if we approach it and learn about it in advance, what we can do is be prepared for it. Because what it involves, especially with security analysts, it involves you to report. You need to be able to report up the chain of command for these regulatory security controls so that you can ensure that they've been met. And so there's a lot of talk in the new security analyst exam of this increased IT regulatory environment and what we have to do to prepare for it. So how did the industry changes affect these job roles? Everything I've spoken about is reflected in the new job roles for CS0002. So if we look at the left-hand side of the table on your screen, the main job roles are still security analyst, security engineer, and threat intelligence analyst. When we look for the jobs that are listing CYSA Plus, these are the three main job roles. There are secondary job roles that have appeared though. But the last job task analysis called these secondary job roles. These are jobs that part of the job requires security analyst skills. So you have to know about them. And so the primary job roles have remained the same. So in that focus is on continuous security monitoring. And that's gonna be the position of the security analyst, security engineer, threat intelligence analyst. But those secondary jobs I was talking about, let's look at them. The one that focuses more on software security is application security analyst. That's a new job role that's appeared with the new version. Another is threat hunter. And that's the idea of going on the offense with defense. A threat hunter is a position that actually looks outside of the security operations center for threats that you're not capturing in the security operations center. So things that might be escaping your SIM, your security information and event management system. There's also a lot of research involved with it. I'll be talking about some of the tools and threat intelligence tools you're gonna find, but doing analysis, working with spreadsheets and these attack navigators, you'll see a lot of this is analysis of data, and there's a great amount on the internet that we can look at, and a huge emphasis on threat modeling, actually looking at the actors in your industry. And we can protect ourselves pretty well now off of some large databases we've gotten by industry over the past 3 years over which attacks are occurring to which industry and which groups are attaching those industries, because we're finding they all mimic themselves. All right, and so the incident response increase, that also includes automation. Are you familiar with security orchestration and automated response? That's listed in the new certification. Companies like Splunk are creating or purchasing new companies such as Phantom. Splunk purchased Phantom because what Phantom does is it's a SOAR device, and it can actually send calls to a security information and event management system such as Splunk to automate some of the responses. Only the simple ones, such as, you know, quarantining a system that's communicating with a command and control system, for example. Phantom's great at that. Phantom sends calls on playbooks. So if there is a certain incident that you've detected and you have a playbook for it, such as the playbook for quarantining a device, it can make those basic moves for you. That doesn't take away anyone's job. It just allows security analysts to get through 90,000 security alerts a day that we have been, one of our companies we work with, gets 90,000 security alerts a day. How do you get through that many? Whew. You need to make some serious changes if that's the case, and you could use some automation as well. Automation, by the way, in cybersecurity is just to get the job done, because it's not getting done right now. And so with automation, we have not seen any job losses. All we have seen automation for in cybersecurity is to try to get the job complete. And so I think it's important that we view automation that way in this industry, just to get the job done, not to take people's jobs away. Also, increased IT regulatory environments, the compliance analyst position in particular has come up as a job role that people are advertising for, and including CYSA Plus is one of the job requirements. So I wanted to mention these new job roles for you. These are, as I said, secondary job roles, but what it can do, it gives us a great leading indicator on where the security analyst position is going. I mean, perhaps in 3 more years, we might have almost half threat intelligence. You know, let's see what happens. But anyway, I thought this was really interesting, and I wanted to share it with you. More jobs available for you. Here are the 6 main changes between the previous version and the new version. Most of the changes are reflected in those industry job roles I was talking about, and just the effect it would have on the exam objectives. Threat and vulnerability management, 22% of the exam covers that. In the old version, there was actually 2 domains related to that. However, as cybersecurity becomes more complicated, we're finding a lot of these basic threat and vulnerability management skills are going down to Security Plus. And more of the analysis aspect of it is now covered in Security Analyst. This only makes sense. And if you want to go into security, if you want to be a security analyst, make sure that you have Network and Security Plus. So if you don't have Network Plus, make sure you have you understand the fundamentals of networking. And Security Plus is all about securing the network. And so if you understand those core cybersecurity functions, it makes the security analyst job far easier. Also next, you see software and vulnerability management. 3 years ago, there was only systems management. So software is now coming to the forefront. 3, security operations and monitoring. This focuses on the functions of a security operations center, which is continuous monitoring. So that has been the core function of a security analyst throughout time. And it still is the core function of a security analyst. Incident response, that too now focuses more on, you know, threat intelligence, and then the response to different environments and different devices that we haven't had to deal with as much before, but now we have to identify and track and monitor them. And then compliance and assessment is now an entire domain. Think about that. Compliance and assessment is its own domain in the new version. This is just a sign to all of us that we have to understand regulations. We have to understand how to comply to them. And in cybersecurity, we have to understand the security controls. Because ultimately, each one of the regulations that we have to comply to us, is just a series of security controls. A security control might include, you know, monitor the network continuously and find, you know, and identify threats and respond to them. That might be one of the security controls. So you as a security analyst then have to support that security control. What's that going to involve from you? Reporting. So it's going to have you look at visualization tools and be able to report out from those visualization tools that would show proof that that is being accomplished. Now, you, of course, would usually work with a manager for this role, but it's important that you understand these concepts as an IT pro. We've been able to ignore regulatory in the past. No more. It is becoming more and more important that you learn, know these skills. Now, the next two slides, we can actually forward. We can just forward through them. This is additional information on those changes I was talking about. So you can go one more, but that way you have a reference. All right, let's take a look at the new exam specifically. The new exam code is CS0002. And if we take a look, here's a summary of all that we've discussed so far. So it talks about, it's a exam, CS0002. It's a vendor-neutral certification that will determine an IT pro's ability to proactively defend and continuously improve the security of an organization. It's going to do this by leveraging intelligence, threat intelligence techniques, analyzing the data, identifying vulnerabilities, suggesting preventive measures, and then responding to and recovering from those incidents, all the while doing it in a compliant manner. Organizations that helped us out were across the board. We had people both from the government and from corporate and from small to medium-sized businesses. We also have a global representation. So we tried to focus on healthcare, finance, all of the different industries that are represented by IT. So in it, you'll find companies like Netflix, RxSense, Spoon Consulting, also Kirkpatrick Price, Paylocity, Japan Business Systems, as well as Boulder Community Health. We tried to get some smaller health organizations too, because the health organizations seem to be coming under attack right now, in particular. And so we have developed this with HIPAA in mind, as well as SOX in mind, as well as PCI DSS in mind, as well as DoD FISMA in mind. New way of thinking, folks. And so as you can see, the people who are helping us with this, a lot of them are just larger companies. Next, the CYSA Plus exam will include hands-on performance-based simulations. There's three main categories because you have to be able to do hands-on work as well as analysis work using these tools. So the three main categories of tools you may be tested on in the CYSA Plus exam are network protocol analyzers such as Wireshark, network intrusion and detection systems such as Zeek, which used to be called Bro, but now it's Zeek, and then Snort. Also security information and event management software. It's important to note with the SIM software, the Open Threat Exchange, that is threat management software. And we're finding threat management is becoming far more important, and the whole idea of threat intelligence. An Open Threat Exchange such as OTX will bring in, you know, bulletins from around the world of current cybersecurity issues. And so you can look through those and determine if you need to make any changes to yourself and your own network. So they're very valuable. But there's new tools that have been introduced, well, at least over the last, 5 years, But one is to profile likely attackers on your network, because it's going to make a big difference if you're a bank, you're an ISP, or if you're even CompTIA. And so there's a really great tool out there called the MITRE Attack Navigator. And in there, you can actually identify the different threat groups out there, and you can identify who they're attacking. But I think the best thing about it is that you can determine based on your company what role you are. Like if you're a healthcare company, it will actually show you what the hackers are attacking, which resources they're attacking, and playbooks for how you can defend against those attacks. So tools like that are becoming more important, because if you're a company, you want to know where they're going to attack and how you can defend yourself down there. I mean, if a hacker is coming at your face, you know, did you want to put too much to protect your stomach, too many resources to protect your stomach when they're going to be going for your face? No, you want to basically put on that face mask possibly before you, you know, protect your stomach. So that's the idea, and it appears to be very, very effective. And so we encourage that. Here are the exam objectives for CS0002. We launched it April 21st. It's available worldwide. The pricing retail USD is $359. The testing provider is Pearson VUE Testing Centers, and now on VUE. This exam is the first CompTIA exam to be released online for its debut. There are multiple choice and performance-based questions, 85 questions. The test is long, it's 165 minutes. Pass rate's the same as Security Plus, to 750. It's only in English at the moment. That may change, but right now only English. And the prereqs, you know, we really recommend you have Network Plus, Security Plus, or equivalent knowledge. Also, where this lands in a career, security analysts are usually around the four-year level, because it takes a while to get to that experience. But if you learn those skills now, then you can come up through the ranks, IT help desk, you know, network administrator, security administrator, all the way up to a security analyst. Also, it's important to note the old version, CS0001, the old version is going to retire in October. And if you have a voucher for CYSA Plus, it will work on either version. Your voucher will work for 001 or 002. All right, next I'm just gonna take a very quick skip through these domains. So first is threat and vulnerability. I just wanna point out here, we're focusing on the cloud as well. What we're finding is that about 55% of all of our Security Plus alumni, who are making up, you know, 10% of the industry at least, are working in the cloud now. So our frontline employees are now working on the cloud more than they're working on-prem. We believe moving forward, everything is going to be a hybrid environment. There may be very little discussion about it when we talk about a network. We assume hybrid moving forward. So maybe we won't even be mentioning the cloud anymore. It just will be what is. Next, please. Software and system security. As I said, if you're not aware of the security, the software development lifecycle or secure programming practices, you need to focus on domain two. It's a new area for us. We've typically just analyzed systems. Now we're analyzing software, so we have to understand that process for the first time. Domain three, remember, this is the core job function. It really focuses on security monitoring activity.
All right, so not sure, it looks like we lost Patrick for a moment here. So I think, why don't we go ahead and we will skip to the end of the presentation. Hopefully we'll get him to join back on. A few people are asking about CPEs, and you can submit this webinar as a CPE hour for your certifying body. Go ahead and remember to check though, as it varies a little bit with each different certifying body as to what counts, but we would be happy to give you a certificate of completion for those of you who joined us today.
This is Patrick.
Patrick's back.
Hi, Patrick. Yay.
Yeah, I'm using my phone to get back. Sorry about that. I'm on my iPhone now. Well, where are we at now? I'm ready to move forward. And I've turned off my video.
Perfect. Thanks, everyone, for your patience. And, you know, we appreciate everyone's adaptability as some of us are working from home and in different settings than we're used to. So appreciate everyone's flexibility there. Patrick, I've got the slide back up for Domain 3, which is the security operations and monitoring. I believe that is where we left off.
Yes, that was an excellent recovery, by the way. Okay, so Domain 3, as we were speaking of, I was just talking about the proactive threat hunting there, and that is that job of threat hunter where we're searching outside of the security operations center for threats that we aren't catching usually. And so this is happening more and more, and I consider that like a rover in soccer where you go to wherever you are needed. Domain 4, incident response. And so I'd mentioned we're broadening incident response to cover more types of indicators of compromise that are beyond our traditional systems. But another area that we need to focus on is basic digital forensics techniques. You know, if you really are going to be focusing on these new IoT devices and these embedded systems, unfortunately, each one is a custom operating system. So many times the only way we can get to the bottom of the problem is to push forensics to the limit and go into reverse engineering. Try to figure out how they develop that kernel. Try to figure out how we can, defend against that threat. And so we're going to see a little more forensics. With Domain 5, what you've got to understand, of course, is compliance. We've already mentioned so much more compliance is here. So much more compliance is going to be coming your way as data privacy becomes more and more an issue over the coming years. So this is an area we need to accept, adopt, and live with as IT pros. And just as a summary slide, this is my last slide I have to cover. I just wanted to say once again, you know, CompTIA had created security and analyst certification. We created it because the industry had a huge need for this job role and this whole idea of using this new generation of behavioral analytics tools. And one last note, I was just talking yesterday with Dr. James Stanger, CompTIA's chief evangelist, he's our chief certification evangelist. He is working in threat intelligence a lot right now. One of the things that he told me is that, you know, moving forward, he sees a lot of security analysts really focusing on research and this the threat research in particular. So when they're looking at that MITRE attack navigator, a lot of people are actually downloading information from that, putting it into spreadsheets, and then using that information to determine, you know, who the real threat actors are. And so I just want to encourage you all to go out there and explore with that tool because it's a lot of fun. But it is also going to take you into this new generation of security analysts thought. And so I hope you enjoy that. And that wraps it up. Thank you, everyone.
Great. And thank you, Patrick. And thanks so much for hopping on so quickly after we had our little glitch there. So we have a lot of great questions. And unfortunately, I don't think we'll get to all of them, but we will try to get through as many as we can. And the ones we don't get to, we will have someone follow up with you regarding. So a couple of questions that we're going to start with is, how long has this certification been around?
Oh, we released it originally in 2017, shortly after the historic attacks of the previous several years. So we released it originally in, I believe, February of 2017. And so this is the second version of it and the second set of exam objectives for it. And so that's why we're here today. And we're talking about, you know, a lot of the differences and similarities between those two. But this job role has only become popular recently.
Sure. And now, Patrick, for those listening that already have the version one certification, once version two comes out in October, will they have to take that new version, or will their version one certification still be active?
Their version one certification will still be active for 3 years. So from the date that they received their certification for 001, they have 3 years to renew it through a series of, you know, continuing education units, or they can take CS0002, and if they pass it, they will also renew that way. And I would actually encourage people to take the new version if you can, because there's a lot more skills in it that the industry is looking for. But you're allowed to take either version until October, when 001 will retire. Then you'll only be able to choose 002 after October.
Perfect. Thank you. That answers a couple of questions. So a lot of people were wondering regarding that. So we have a next question here. With the privacy laws, will the new exam include the California privacy law, especially as it is similar to Europe's GDPR? How much involvement do those laws have in the exam?
Right. Well, there are going to be covered in that exam. It's more of an explain level. So we're talking more knowledge based. If we look at Bloom's taxonomy, we're more on level two with that, where you need to be able to explain, discuss the topics. Because as far as the way they're going to impact you personally, well, you're going to be supporting those controls, which are usually going to be implemented by, you know, a security manager that you work with.
Perfect. We have a question from Daniel regarding machine learning, and will there be questions, or is there any focus in the exam on machine learning?
Right. Yes, there is. That term comes up several different times. We cover machine learning and AI, those topics, you know, and so I would actually have to take a look to go in deeper to how much they're covered on the exam, but those topics are covered because we're finding they're among the highest trending emerging technologies out there. And so that is absolutely integrated into this exam. We'd have to take a stroll through the exam objectives together to learn that. So that you should be able to download these here. They should be in the resources section of this webinar. And so please feel free to download those and search and find the various techniques and topics you're looking for in the exam objectives.
Perfect. Thanks, Patrick. A couple more questions that we have coming through. And again, so many great questions here. Thank you to everyone who has submitted. So another question is, does CISA Plus or CYSA Plus automatically renew your Security Plus certification?
Yes, it does. We have a concept that is, you know, if you take a higher level certification in the CompTIA security pathway, it will renew the downstream certifications. So if you take, you know, CYSA Plus, that would renew A Plus, Network Plus, and Security Plus.
Fantastic. Great question from Tyrone. And that is great news. And I think a great example of why you should, you know, keep taking more certifications, because you can only add more knowledge to your, you know, to yourself. And that's great. Looks like we have time for just a couple more here. So another question from Karen is, you mentioned the cloud, so does that mean AI will be covered in the exam?
I mentioned the cloud, so is AI going to be covered in the exam?
Yes, I believe that's what I'm seeing is the question.
Right. Now, whether or not it's tied directly to that is a good question. Well, we do cover the cloud. We do cover AI machine learning. I don't know the exact relationship of that.
Okay, sure. And we will we'll look into that and follow up then.
Gonna look.
Perfect. So a couple more questions. One more. Sorry, the screen is scrolling on me here.
I have more information. Yes, exam 3.4, compare and contrast automation concepts and technologies. And that includes workflow orchestration, such as SOAR. It does cover scripting, application programming interface integration, automated malware signature creation, data enrichment threat feed combinations, machine learning, use of automated protocols and standards, continuous integration and continuous deployment and delivery is what it's covering. And so we're comparing and contrasting those automated concepts and technologies. So largely what we're going to be doing is taking it into a conceptual cloud environment. And so it is likely that machine learning skills and such that you're speaking of would be higher level than security analysts, probably, you know, 5 years plus. Whereas we're mostly monitoring and doing incident response, we are using machine learning, but from a compare and contrast automation concepts and technologies perspective.
Great. Thanks for looking into that, and hopefully that adds some clarity to that question there. So we're going to go for our last question here. Is for those that have the CYSA Plus, can they get grandfathered into the Network Plus certification? So I think they mean if they skip over some of those earlier certifications, does that grant them those lower ones?
Right. All of our, no, it does not. All of our recommendations are recommendations for prereqs. So there are plenty of people who come out of college with bachelor degrees who are going right into CYSA Plus and then getting hired. You know, they have bachelor's degrees in information systems. We even see people with software bachelor degrees. But for bachelor degrees, we're finding oftentimes they can just jump right into the security analyst position, believe it or not. I've heard several examples of that from various CISOs. Did that help answer the question? Perhaps you could ask it again. Okay.
Yeah, no, I think that did. And Jeff, if you have, Jeff that asked the question, if you have further needs, we'd be happy to follow up with you. So we'll squeeze in one last question here. How long is the certification good for, from Dennis?
Okay, it's going to be good for 3 years from the date you passed. And within that 3 years, then you have two ways you can renew it. I guess three ways. One is you could get a higher level cert to renew it, like if you got CASP Plus. Another way, then, you could get the you could renew it by getting 60 continuous education units over a three-year period, or you could take the new exam, and a lot of people are doing that. And that's you can just take the CS0002 exam, and that will renew your cert. Or if you take CS0002 right now, in 3 years there will be a new CS0003. So, you know, if you take 002 in 3 years, you could also renew if you wanted to by taking 003. And right now, if you want to renew 001, you can also just take 002 to do that. So there's a lot of different ways to renew. A lot of it just depends on your personal preference.
I hope you enjoyed today's webinar episode. Just as a reminder, many of our podcasts also contain video elements, and in some cases feature walkthroughs and demonstrations that need to be watched as well as heard. These can all be found on our YouTube page. Just go to youtube.com and type in CyberWork with InfoSec to check out our collection of tutorials, interviews, other webinars, and podcasts. And as ever, search CyberWork with InfoSec in your podcast app of choice for more of these episodes. And if you wouldn't mind, we would always love a five-star rating and review in whatever format or platform you use to listen to podcasts. It really does help us out. For a limited time only, the CyberWork podcast is offering listeners one free month with our InfoSec Skills Learning Platform. To take advantage of this special offer for CyberWork listeners, head over to infosecinstitute.com/skills or click the link in the episode description. Sign up for an individual subscription as you normally would, then in the coupon box, type the word CyberWork. No spaces, no capital letters, and use it to claim your free month. Thanks once again to Patrick Lane and Camille, and thank you all for listening. We'll speak to you next week.